And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The gospel passage set aside for the fifth Sunday of Trinitytide is one in which we witness one of the great conversion experiences of the New Testament. And the one who undergoes the dramatic conversion is none other than St. Peter himself. And so many conversion experiences are similar. They tend to be. And this one is no different. It happened right in the midst of a mundane occurrence of mundane daily life. And for a fisherman such as St. Peter, you can guess that just about the most mundane thing to do is to be fishing. Fishermen fish. That's what they do. Jesus, a carpenter, gets into the boat with Peter, a fisherman, and starts to tell Peter what he ought to do to be a better fisherman. He has some tips, some advice. St. Peter has been very accommodating to that point. In fact, Jesus, who is not only a carpenter, but of course to Peter a great teacher, had been teaching great crowds of people from St. Peter's fishing boat itself. I'm sure you've had this experience, but if you haven't, think about how well sound travels across water. You can be on one side of a lake of reasonable size, camping or sitting on the porch of a lake house or even paddling on a kayak or something like that. And when the air is calm, you can practically hear the conversation of the people on the other side of the lake. A kid will giggle from some campsite seemingly a half a mile away, and you can hear their little giggle because sound travels so well across the surface of water. And so you might say, see, Jesus knows public speaking. He can know acoustics and such things. He knows carpentry, but Peter knows fishing. Peter knows the kind of conditions necessary for fishing. He knows when the fishing's good, and he knows where the fishing is good, and when it's a good time to pack it in for another day. Peter had been fishing all night, and apparently that's when the fishing is good. And yet they had taken in nothing. The only thing worse than having to work all night long is having nothing to show for it. And Peter was not being paid an hourly wage for his fishing. Peter was no doubt tired, ready to go home. And then Jesus does what professional people should never do when they encounter professionals from a different field who are having trouble. And that is start to tell them how to do their job. Peter has had his head deep into his own circumstances, and he felt he knew pretty well what was going on with the fishing scene this day, and where the fish were, and when the fish could be caught, and he knew that luck was not on his side today as a fisherman. It was time to go home and not set out again. His face was buried in his own world, despite sitting very close to Jesus on that boat and hearing all of his teaching. We have evidence that St. Peter was not seeing what was before him. Because Peter was about to see God with new eyes. Peter was about to see himself with new eyes. And that is the nature of his conversion. And such conversions happen sometimes many times in the lives of those who follow Christ. But for St. Peter, this was a special day. For Jesus Christ, Son of the living God and Son of Mary, second person of the Holy Trinity and carpenter of Nazareth, tells Peter to first launch out into the deep, and second, cast your nets into the deep for a draft. And Peter had a moment where he was willful enough to register a complaint about the request. But he had also been with Jesus long enough to know that it will go better for you in life if you just obey what the Lord tells you to do if he tells you to do something. And somewhere in the midst of what happened next, St. Peter has this conversion experience. Having finished with teaching, St. Peter obeys the Lord and sets out into the deep. Letting down his nets into the water, he takes in such a great haul of fish that the nets begin to break, calling out to another boat to come and help them. Their boats become so full of fish they begin to sink. And this is the moment that you should try to picture the glances of St. Peter towards Jesus as all of that frantic work was taking place. Can you see what is happening in the heart of St. Peter as his mundane daily experience of fishing is visited by God? And at first, you can be sure that St. Peter has the same response that every fisherman has when he says, "I think I've got something." And you can see that face on the fisherman in the boat, and you've had that experience yourself. "I think I've got one." Any fisherman here knows that feeling. I know there's some in the room who've had bad luck fishing recently. So some know this experience more than others, but the feeling is a thrill. For St. Peter, this is his livelihood, so it's more than a thrill. The fishermen are hooting and hollering about how they've never seen so many fish. This has got to be a record. Look at them all. Think of all the money we're going to make from this. And I imagine that it was right there in the midst of those sinking boats filled with fish and the promise of making a good bit of money from this haul that St. Peter had his conversion. He realized as he looked at Jesus, this was not about fishing. He realized this was not really about money. Jesus was calling St. Peter out into the deep. But it was not just the deep of Lake Gennesaret. Jesus was calling St. Peter out of the shallow pools of his life into the deep of seeing and knowing and trusting God. Jesus was calling St. Peter to take in a draught, but it was not a draught of fish. Peter, abandon yourself. Peter, open wide the nets of your heart and take in all that you can of me until your boat sinks. I'm right here with you. Rather, you are right here with me. And right then, how silly it must have seemed for Peter to have been so concerned about nets, about boats, about the market price of fish, and for him to have been calculating about how much this haul would have been worth, and to be gleeful about fish. Jesus Christ, in a moment, dissolved all of the pressing concerns of St. Peter's fisherman life. God speaks through the psalmist when he says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine, for the world is mine, and all that it contains." To Martha, Jesus would say that she was worried about a great many things, but that Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, had chosen the one thing that mattered, and it would not be taken from her. To those who heard the Sermon on the Mount, including Peter, Jesus had asked, "Why do you worry about food and clothing? Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." St. Peter had been discouraged about toiling all the night long and producing nothing, when not only the kingdom of God had drawn close to him, but the king himself was in the boat. As his boat was sinking with just a tiny fraction of the bounty of God, St. Peter saw the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Peter had thought he was taking fishing advice from a carpenter. He thought he was taking professional advice about labor from an intellectual, a teacher. But in the haul of that fish was a lesson indeed. And the carpenter was building something indeed. Make no mistake, there was a message about the kingdom of God, and Jesus was building the church. And in the light of that revelation and in the presence of God incarnate, St. Peter recognized that he had been staring at himself. And with the King of Kings as a passenger in his fishing boat, when he saw himself, he was appalled at what he saw. How pathetically small his life was. How ridiculous were his concerns about fishing. He thought about all the people on the planet who were more capable and more holy and more faithful than he, and the conversion of his heart at that moment was a painful one. The genuflection of his body was the outward expression of the prostration of his heart. And from his mouth came words not so much different from those of the prophet Isaiah, who saw a vision of God in the heavenly host, who said, "Depart from me, for I am a man of unclean lips. I'm from a people of unclean lips." Gone was the speech about having fished all night long and caught nothing, and gone was the concern for nets and boats and fish. Gone for that moment was his concern for happiness, for he had suddenly and dramatically reckoned that the real concern was holiness. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We have a lot of concerns in our lives. We have a lot of things that we've been toiling at, as St. Peter might have, all night long with not much to show for it. We have situations that we would like to explain to God, saying, "Don't you understand? I've been working at this and it just doesn't seem to change. And there seems to be no difference no matter what I do. Lord, I'm unhappy and I need this situation to change. Lord, if you could remove this problem and add this blessing, I think I would be all set. Perhaps if I could just take in one of those great hauls of fish, I would have everything I need." We just read the story about St. Peter, so we know it's within your power to do it, so do it. Give me everything I want. The message of this conversion of St. Peter is that his concerns were a shame to him when, through his circumstances, he was able to see God with him. And perhaps instead of "grant us what situation we're asking for," we should pray that God would likewise simply show us himself, so that St. Peter's conversion can be ours as well, and we can be spared the embarrassment of admitting how fixated we were on fish when we were in the presence of the King of Kings. Perhaps what we need more than having all of our prayers answered is an awestruck, gasping revelation of the holiness and power of God that makes us, rather than ask for more, instead cry out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You recognize that despite the command of St. Peter for the Lord to depart from him, Jesus responds saying, "Not a chance." He says what God always says when his creatures finally see something of him, when they finally understand, happens many times in the scriptures, "Fear not." And hear that closely. He does not say, "Fear not, I will now help you catch many fish. Let's get these fish into shore and we'll get the boats back out and catch another load and we'll pile up all of our supplies and look at them." Rather, he says, "Fear not that I will condemn you for having been concerned about such foolish things, but from henceforth you shall catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. After having caught more fish than ever before, after having become the most successful fishermen that have ever lived, they left their nets. They knew, as fishermen know, when they've got something. Let us pray for such a vision of God even today, such that we will see what it is that St. Peter saw when he released his grip from what seemed to be his most pressing concerns and just followed Christ to do whatever Christ wanted him to do, to be whatever Christ wanted him to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.